Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome. And yes, my voice is sounding husky this morning, because I still have that laryngitis. It decided to give my vocal cords a treat. Regardless, I want to let you know that our guest who is scheduled today, Nancy Duterte, we were not able to reach her because she's on the East Coast. And as we all know, Hurricane Sandy has done an incredible job of eliminating all sorts of power. So we just haven't been able to get through to her at all. So we will be rescheduling Nancy at a later date. Her topic, what we were going to be talking about, was psychic intuition. And this is a woman who was a skeptic and wasn't able to, she found that it's really real. It's not something that she could any longer be a skeptic with. We also have a second guest scheduled today, Dr. Todd Pesek. Now, we're going to be talking, when we're able to reach Dr. Todd, about how you can be well, eat yourself super, as he says, one bite at a time. And he's talking about superfoods and how we can bring them into our life. So what I wanted to do, since Hurricane Sandy has eliminated our guest today, but we will be bringing Nancy back, I wanted to share with you about a man who decided that he was going to, make a difference in his own way. Now, this is a man by the name of George Jones. He started off as a clerk in a crockery store. And boy, he was known as being so ambitious. He was bright. People really liked him. Excellent habits, wonderful manners, great personality. I mean, this is a win-win all the way around. But the most important thing about George that people really, really liked was his honesty and the fact that he could be trusted. And if we think about that, don't we really treasure that in someone? I don't care what your generation is. That is very, very important, and this has to be earned. Well, there was a man by the name of Henry Raymond. He was highly recognized as a journalist. And apparently, Gregory Jones, his reputation just preceded him. So he was contacted by Henry. Henry said, "I'd like to work with you. What do you think about it?" Well, guess what? I called him Gregory, but it's really George. Do you know what they started? The New York Times. That's right. Henry J. Raymond and George Jones. Now, by golly, in New York City, that was significant. And there was a particular dynasty of corruption that was in New York City. Does that sound a little familiar? Well, the New York Times, these two men and their staff took it on. Apparently, George Jones was given an under-the-table bribe. Now, if you can imagine, this was a number of years ago. The bribe was a juicy $500,000. The associates of Boss Tweed, the political power machine at that time, thought that was going to just do the trick. After all, he could take the money. $500,000 at the time that this was offered was an incredible, that was equivalent to $1 million+. He could have just taken off for Europe. He could have disappeared. He could have done anything he wanted. He would have had well, whatever he desired. And they said, again, all you have to do is just disappear for a while. He said, no. He said, I'm not going to do that, because if I do, I have to live with the consequences of what I do. And consequently, the machine, as it existed then, of corruption, collapsed. I think we need to remember people like that. We're in the throes of a political environment that I think reminds me of just the worst mudslinging that has been around for a long time. I don't care who is putting the stuff together. I don't care where it comes from. The fact that they will even bother to spend the money on the kind of trash that's going out is unbelievable. It's nothing new. Nothing new about this. Sometimes we experience things and we say, oh, nobody's ever gone through this before. Believe me, here in the United States, if you study history, we've seen so much of this corruption and other stuff go on, and the only thing you can do is clean it up. Clean it up. And that means you have to hold people accountable. That means there have to be leaders on multiple levels that are not going to take bribes under the table. They're not going to disappear to Europe, Africa, Australia, whatever, and walk out of the picture so that the corruption can go on. They're not going to do that. We have those individuals. And sometimes we have to listen to their voices. Sometimes, well, they just have to speak up, speak out, take charge, do what needs to be done. So, again, I wanted to share this story because I thought it was extremely appropriate for this particular scenario, this particular day. And I just think that I want to mention, too, to those of you that perhaps say, well, I'm not even going to bother to vote. Here in Seattle, there were a number of people that were interviewed and were put on the airwaves about their feelings for different things. And one of the most significant comments that really registered with me is that I just really don't even want to waste my time voting. Well, if you don't, then you are giving up a right. And you may say, well, what is the lesser of two evils? I don't know. I can't make a judgment for you. That's not the issue. But the truth is, your vote does count in its own way. There's a lot of people around the world in various countries that are dying, giving their lives up for an opportunity to be able to, even to have a choice. You have that choice here. So exercise that choice. The election is coming up. Put that time, effort in. I don't often mention anything about politics, and I'm not asking you to take one side or the other. I'm merely asking you to exercise the right that you have as an American. And don't forget about George Jones. After all, this was a man that had tremendous integrity and ended up bringing down, along with his associate, one of the toughest corrupt machines in the very, very well-known city, New York. It can be done again. What's been done once can be repeated. We can correct things. Sadly, we have to do it over and over again, but that's just the story of humanity. Donna Sebo here. My guest, Nancy, we were going to be talking about intuition today, but we're not going to be able to do it because Nancy is back on the East Coast. And consequently, there's no power. So even though her phone is ringing, she can't answer it. There's just no power there. So we will be bringing her back, and we are going to be talking to Dr. Todd Pesek at the bottom of the hour. So that is going to be coming up. We're going to be talking about nutrition. A little bit of trivia, if you haven't looked in the mirror recently, of course I know you have, do you know that the Chinese culture has for centuries...
Todd is with us.
Oh, wonderful. For centuries had information about how you can find out a person's personality. Well, we're going to be talking about that later. Right now, I have Dr. Pesek, Dr. Todd. Welcome to the show.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a delight, and I appreciate your being able to come on earlier in the programming. Our guest that we had scheduled prior to you, she's back on the East Coast, and we're just not able to get through to her because they have no power. So this is just a delight to bring you on earlier, and that your phone is working just fine.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that's battling with Sandy right now, you know?
Oh, it's a big thing. It's huge.
No doubt.
Just absolutely huge. Well, Dr. Todd, you'll have to bear with me. I've got some laryngitis this morning, which for a person that talking is or living, that is just very irritating. But once in a while, life just throws us some challenges to keep us humble. You're a man that really is dedicated to wellness with people, and you feel that it is so very, very important to do it with foods. You are a person who really dedicates yourself on all levels to the education of same, and your book, Eat Yourself Super One Bite at a Time, is about superfoods. How did you get turned on to superfoods, and why do you feel they're so significant?
That's a great question. Well, I tell everybody that I'm an Appalachian root doctor who went to medical school, and what that means is, you know, I was raised on a self-sustaining farm in rural Appalachia, Sweet Valley, Pennsylvania, to be exact, and like most Appalachian peoples, I'm of mixed heritage, Scots-Irish, Anishinaabe or Native, and Lithuanian, and I identify with each aspect of that cultural background, but more importantly, you know, growing up on that, you know, in that context, on that self-sustaining farm, learning from my elders and from nature, I had lit within me this passion and purpose to travel the world and learn from other traditional peoples and like-minded elders at the traditional health and wellness strategies and the secrets of long life. And so that's really what I've been doing for the last couple decades. So I'd say that, you know, being raised on a farm, I learned to eat organic, local, and in season. And being a traditional herbalist, I learned the importance and powers of nature's healing, majesty.
You have a story. Before I go into the story, your comment in your book, you've already mentioned being an herbalist and a root doctor. You say academically you're a medical doctor with an ethnobotanical scholarship focus. That is a mouthful. I mean, plants and people are your business, but I have not been familiar with the word ethnobotanical. Boy, that must be fun to share with kids. They must just really like that when they hear that description. Speaking of
kids,
they
love it.
Yeah, I bet. Because if they're like I was in school, words like that are so cool. Just really cool, because nobody's going to know about them. One of the very first stories that you have in your book is about an 11-year-old girl. And this girl was going to go in for surgery for a cutaway of part of her bowel at 11 years old. Tell us what you did. You were a young doctor then. Tell us what you did and how it helped her.
Yeah, you know, picture trying to explain an ostomy bag to your first date. You know, that would be, it's a truly, in her circumstance, it's very fortunate that we were able to avoid that. So basically what happened then was she was 11 years old when I had met her, but she was diagnosed with an irritable bowel disease. They weren't sure whether or not it was Crohn's or colitis at the time, and in a lot of different respects it just doesn't matter because the same principles are effective against the whole spectrum of those bowel syndromes and diseases. But anyway, and she was put on a variety of drugs from the time she was 5 until the time I met her when she was 11. And one of them resulted in one of the side effects was a hypercoagulable state that resulted in a stroke that she had in her speech center. And so when I met her, she was on powerful drugs to make her blood thin, and because of her irritable bowel disease, the blood was coming out of her bowels. And so their solution was to continually transfuse her, and then finally, since they couldn't do anything else to stop the bleeding, they were just going to remove the bowel. And it was not an optimal solution for a number of reasons, in particular because she had issues with her bowels all the way through. And so I was in there one day, and I had at the time I was a medical student and lower on the the pecking order, and really kind of had to do things silently, because when I brought up the fact that, hey, maybe we should teach her and her family how to eat more healthfully, it just wasn't considered very seriously by the medical team. I pulled the parents aside and talked with them about it, because I noticed that she was eating a highly refined chocolate and junk food like Cheetos and all these other things that certainly weren't health foods and certainly weren't helping the problem. And so her parents, they listened, thankfully, and really what ended up happening was we had convinced the medical team to put her on a less harsh blood thinner that enabled her to stop bleeding quickly enough for them to take her out of the hospital and for me to walk around the grocery store with them and teach them about foods and food is medicine and all that. And I'm happy to say that, some 3 or 4 months later, the girl's gastroenterologist was just amazed at her progress, and she was off of all medications then. And, then I kind of lost touch with them, but always remembered her, and recently got an email letter. I have a stronger web presence now, and I guess they were looking for me. Her father wrote a letter to me, and it was just deeply touching. He sent pictures of, his beautiful now 17-year-old, or 18-year-old daughter. She was going to, one of her high school dances, and he sent pictures of her and just said, thank you, you're an angel. And my thoughts when I read that letter were, actually she was, because, that experience for me as a student reinvigorated my childhood experiences and what I wanted to do in medicine, and kind of fueled that fire and helped me to continue moving forward in that direction, that food is medicine.
It really is. And as you were talking, I was reflecting on a very dear friend of mine who works in a very high-stress job. And I called her, this was about a month ago, and she said, oh, I'm in the hospital. I said, Mike, what are you doing in the hospital? And she was diagnosed with diverticulitis. And so much of this that is diagnosed related to the colon, to the bowel, is directly affected by diet. And I know this person thinks that they are eating healthy, but that's not the case. I know it isn't. So, and when I say healthy, I think we all have different pictures in our mind as to what is healthy. But I looked at this and I thought, oh my goodness, I hope they're not going to operate, remove the intestine. And I think of one woman I know right now. I met her. I've known her for years. Her stomach, she's in her 80s, and she's on medication. And she made a comment to me. She said, I can eat all the cake I want, but I can't have any vegetables. And I said, something's wrong with this picture. This is not good. How
Isn't
can,
that scary?
It really is, and this is a beautiful person. Every time she has something that has a little bit of roughage in it, apparently she has something like ulcers or sores inside, and she goes in spasm. She goes into incredible pain, so she's literally slowly but surely going through an effect of starvation. And, of course, then the body's going to produce all kinds of things. How can your book, Eat Yourself Super, is a wonderful way to go towards this. But if we have someone that's listening today, how do you begin with this? Where do you start?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let me start off by just telling you and your listeners that you kind of have to view this like parallel universes. You know, you have the the universe where there's drugs and surgery, and unfortunately but true, where interested business plays a very prominent role in the standard of care of medicine. But also interested business plays a very prominent role in food availability and, food choices and things like that. And then the other universe is the alternative medicine universe, where there's everything else, primarily natural means to, combat illnesses and this and that and the other. And so I really operate in the latter, and I have a thriving, holistic, alternative medicine practice, one of the leading in the country in northeastern Ohio. And I have people that come from all over the states to be a patient there. And I don't use drugs. I use these principles. And, and it's a relatively simple set of principles. But having said that, there's in natural medicine, there's a large percent effort on the basis of the patient. Person has to be ready to change. You know, I mean, we are willing to meet people where they're willing to be met, but, if somebody were to have abused their body for the last 30 years, I mean, they're going to have either an epiphany moment where they have to drastically change their lifestyle or not. And a lot of times people opt for, I could just do these things and, eat all the cake I want, right? The reason that a specific story that you just mentioned, that she can have that cake and not the roughage, is a lot of times the digestive system just slows down and is unable to digest the things that our ancestors, thrived on. And so the mistakenly think the simple solution is, we'll just eat all this food with no food in it and take these drugs, but there's a crisis that eventually happens. So what I tell people that I work with is that, look, on a matter of a variety of levels, pay now with your effort or pay later. In other words, make some time to honor your body right now, or you will be forced to make time later with illness, and that's a scenario that you want to avoid.
I agree. Now, there is some information that you bring out in your book that I think is vitally important. You talk about cancer, you talk about heart disease, which is just off the chart. And people say, well, we're hearing more about it because they're able to diagnose it more. No, this is a reality. We have things occurring in the physiology of so many people that it perhaps was around, but it was so rare before. And now things like heart disease, it's just flying off the charts, men and women both. But I want to get to something that in my awareness only has been coming forth in the past couple of years, and that is inflammation. That word is so vitally important because that is at the base of almost every single disease on one level or another. Explain what an inflammation is and why is it so significant in heart disease as well as the many different types of cancer.
Yeah, that's a great question. Hold that thought just for a second. I want to mention this and then I'll go right into the inflammation. For the majority of humanity with a good set of genes, say, the 95% or so with a good set of genes. And by the way, genes don't control us. We control them. A gene is like a book. It's a set of instructions that you can't that the book doesn't just open itself and read it. Similarly, the gene doesn't just open itself and read it. You open your genes, and the way you open it is through the biology of your belief, your intentions, your optimism, your resilience, but also you're interconnected with the natural world. And that whole science is called epigenetics. But for the better part of the 95% of humanity or so that have a good set of structural genes with which to work, disease need not exist. If it does exist, it's for one of two reasons. The first reason is toxicity, and the other reason is trauma. The toxicity, there are two types. There's environmental toxicity. There's plastics, PCBs, endocrine disruptors, xenoestrogens, things that throw off our hormones, heavy metals, all of this stuff drives inflammation. And the other type of toxicity is food toxicity. There's, our ancestors needed sugars and fats. They sought them out in nature, but when they found them, they were in physiologically friendly portions. And but now that they're highly refined and all around us, we can't shut down the evolutionary drive to consume those sugars and fats, and we consume them in toxic loads that drive inflammation. And then to the other side is the traumas, right? There's the obvious trauma, rushing here, rushing there, lack of present awareness, and something happens. So be aware in the present and to avoid those kind of traumas. Then the other trauma that's not nearly talked about at all is the trauma of being removed from nature. And that profoundly affects us in a multitude of ways, from inadequate access to pure water, to a deficiency of the sunshine and the sunshine hormone, vitamin D, which is responsible for the epigenetic regulation of about 15% of our genome, vitamin D, which is anti-cancer, anti-infective, anti-inflammatory, all of that stuff. And, us not eating our ancestral diets and so on and so forth. Now, if the disease does exist for those reasons, it is precipitated in large part by a physiologic process called inflammation. Inflammation, you hear it all over the media, inflammation this, inflammation that, but very rarely do people realize that inflammation is actually our friend. We need inflammation. If you get infected by something, the body becomes inflamed and fights it off. You twist an ankle or scrape your knee, the body becomes inflamed and fixes it. The problem with inflammation comes with chronic inflammation. When this inflammatory scales are tipped toward always inflamed and there's no anti-inflammatory balance, this is what drives the gamut of diseases of civilization, from diabetes to autoimmune diseases to atherosclerosis, coronary artery disease, stroke, neurologic diseases, pulmonary diseases. You name it, inflammation drives those things, and they are driven by inflammation in reciprocal format. So in a nutshell, literally, the whole basis for why people are perpetually pro-inflamed is because of their food choices. Our ancestors, you hear this essential fatty acid 369, 369, 369. Well, that's wrong. I mean, what we need to hear is more threes, less sixes and nines. They're essential fatty acids because our bodies need to take them in through our diet. We can't make them. However, we can make the nines from the threes and the sixes. So if you think about just the threes and the sixes, put them on a teeter-totter, just like at the kids' playground, and on the one side you have the threes and the one side you have the sixes, our ancestors consumed them in balanced proportions. And they needed to because the threes are anti-inflammatory, even anti-tumorigenic, whereas the sixes are pro-inflammatory, even pro-tumorigenic. And our ancestors ate them in a 1-to-1 or a 1-to-3 ratio, but the modern diet, it's more like 1 part 3s, 20 to 30 part 6s, and that's why people are walking around perpetually pro-inflamed, because the omega-6 fats are metabolized into all of the things that drive inflammation through arachidonic acid. And so basically, in a nutshell, more 3s, less 6s, and we would drive down a lot of those inflammatory processes that are driving chronic diseases of civilization.
Dr. Todd, we're going to take a break for a moment. Will you stay with me?
Sure.
Wonderful. This is Dr. Vivek. Pesek, excuse me, P-E-S-E-K is the correct spelling of his last name. And we're going to be talking some more about how you can eat yourself super one bite at a time. And what kind of foods we're going to be talking about here. His book is wonderful, and it really makes sense. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment. We're taking a break. Don't go away.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Todd. Eat yourself super one bite at a time. All of us want to have richer, healthier lives. And as we are becoming more educated about pesticides, chemicals, I mean, we've had over 80,000 chemicals introduced since the 50s. It's over 100,000 now, I'm sure. But all of these things come into play. And Dr. Todd, when we're discussing this, you have a note. You say, do not eat petrochemicals. Well, I don't think most people are going to go out and say, gee, give me a cup of petro. I don't think so. How are these in our food? Where did they come from? I know something with plastic, big warnings about using plastic and microwave, etc. But what are the other forms where petrochemicals come into the foods? Explain that to us.
Yeah. Think about all the acides, right? Herbicides, fungicides, herbicides, pesticides. Those are all petrochemical-based residues that are on people's food. And it's deeply, deeply concerning. Because we know that they're endocrine disruptors. They disrupt our hormones. They're xenoestrogens. They interfere with our body's physiologic processes. It's very clear that these things are bad for us. And then I'd also mention, in addition to that, if you can't eat it, you shouldn't put it on your skin. For the ladies out there, look at your personal and skincare products. Oftentimes, the first ingredient is petrolatum or petroleum, which is good for a fire starter or for driving your car around. But you definitely don't want to be putting it on your skin or in your body. The anti-aging formulas out there, you get a chuckle because you pick them up and look at this. People are actually putting oil and petroleum products on their skin. It's sad. It's egregious. And I think part of the misinformed consumer doing what they think is right for them based on misleading marketing, propaganda.
With you, you have a family, you have little girls, and your Appalachian roots really are strong. And you've encouraged them to really enjoy local foods that are in your area. Now, all of us here in the Pacific Northwest, we have certain local foods that we're famous for, especially apples. And there's that readily available, and of course, people who are able to get apples across the country. But when you can shop local, and we're so fortunate today because we literally get food from around the world. We can have bananas all year round. We can have tomatoes all year round. We are in an amazing time, but you recommend eating local. What if your local environment doesn't have a farmer's market? What would you recommend that people do? Because there's some communities that just don't have that.
Right. You do the best you can. You do the best you can. And a part of the rationale for that is, there are good arguments for the consumption of non-local foods and things like that too. And I'm in no way, shape, or form, advocating that anybody has to stick to any one thing. But we want to do our best. And that's the thing. For example, I have a number of students who, would come and say, well, we can't afford to eat organic and this and that and the other. And so finally we did an experiment, and we had one group of students eat organic in-season foods all year long. And then we had the other group eat, conventional foods, whatever they wanted, all year long. And we found that the group that ate the in-season organics, paid approximately a third for their produce as the group who ate the whatever they wanted conventional. And so basically, if you want to eat, organic bananas in the winter, you're going to pay for them. But if you want to have organic cruciferous veggies, when they're still growing outside, you aren't really going to experience that increased price hike. And then the next thing I tell people is that, start small, grow your own food. The first thing I did when I moved into my house was I took out my front lawn and put in my garden. And, food not lawns. I always found it odd that people spray pesticides on their dandelions and other greens in their front lawn and then go and buy them at the grocery store. And, I've spent a lot of time trying to teach people that that's not a good sustainable practice. I mean, you could grow enough salad, you could grow enough greens in a windowsill grow box to have a salad every day if you do it right. And, so a part of it is a greater awareness. And I think as we continue to cultivate our consciousness with this regard collectively as a global people, we'll start to see many, many more medicinal gardens and urban food shed networks and, rural food shed networks, home food not lawns kind of scenarios expanding with greater wherewithal.
I love this section that you had in your book on fermentation of food. Now, if we go back historically, we'll find that the Scandinavian peoples, the Asian peoples, they just had to do this, otherwise they didn't have food for winter. So they would grow their food, and then they would put it into a crock, or if you are Korean, sometimes it was buried right in the ground so that it would become kimchi. Or you had sauerkraut with the Germans. There's just all kinds of foods that were fermented like this. But you said fermenting apple cider. And, of course, that was hard cider. And that could be pretty, pretty powerful stuff. But one of the things that you bring out that I find so interesting in this is that the fermentation of foods, that fermentation process creates bioavailable vitamins, particularly the B vitamins. How in the world can that happen? There is an item called kombucha that was introduced into China by a Korean physician, and it's got high levels of vitamin B. It's just amazing to me. Do you know why that's the case? How does it do it?
Well, the whole ferment is fascinating. I agree, and all of our ancestors, no matter who they are or where they're from, imbibed in fermented foods and beverages for millennia. The whole process, if you think about it, it's this lacto-fermentation process. So you have this pretty much nutritional yeast growing and assimilating nutrients in a way that it makes those nutrients more bioavailable for human consumption. But above and beyond that even is the actual, so the nutrients and the lacto-fermentation products, the nutritional yeasts and this and that and the other, but also the actual friendly bacteria and other beneficial microbes that colonize our bodies when we eat those things enable us to better procure nutrients from other foods that we eat and also maintain our body's steady state homeostasis through healthful bowel health. And I think that our microbiota, in other words, our ecology of health, is really going to guide a lot of the, medicine of the future, if you will, because really what happened to us is that we have become, unfortunately, too clean, really, there's no good dirt in our diets anymore. And because of that, we aren't getting the cobalt complex, cyanocobalamin, which is vitamin B12, a lot of the other still grazing animals and things like that can get. And so you've always heard this, well, the only place you could get B12 is by eating animals and animal products. Well, where do you think the animals get it? They get it from the microbial homeostatic networks that they consume and as they graze and eat dirt. And there are other confounding variables that I talk about in the book with that. For example, the soil is becoming deficient in nutrients, and that's why animals and people who have diets high in meat are actually B12 deficient anyway, and it's because of this lack of cobalt. But point is this, we need good dirt, and our ancestors got plenty of it. And humans are the only species around that obsessively wash and clean all of their food and produce and things like that. Now, I'm not saying go and buy stuff at the grocery store and don't wash it, but I am saying get your hands in the dirt and get out there and you could eat tomatoes off the plant.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Todd, this has been wonderful. What is the website that people can go to check out more information about yourself, and your book, Eat Yourself Super, because, as you said, you are a physician that is working with the alternative wellness positioning and getting wonderful results. What's your website?
My website is www.eatyourselfsuper.com.
Right.
And on there I have links to my practice and, my blog and all this other kind of stuff. The book is available on there as well as Amazon and Barnes & Noble and iBook and Nook and Kindle and all those formats.
Well, Dr. Todd, this has just been absolutely wonderful. Dr. Todd's last name is Pesek, P-E-S-E-K. Eat Yourself Super. I really think that his book gives so much good information, and it's written in a layman's language. So if you're like me, you're always open to learning new things. Don't be afraid, and a lot of this is not going to be new. Some of this you're going to know. Some of this your mother, your grandmother, or your aunt or uncle might have mentioned to you, or maybe even heard it from a neighbor, dependent on where your heritage is from. So This is really good information. Dr. Todd, thanks ever so much, and thanks for sharing your wisdom and being able to spend the time with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been an honor.
It's a delight. Dr. Todd, don't forget, Dr. Todd, go to his website, eatyourselfsuper.com. We're going to be right back. This is Donna Sebo.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna, and thank you for being so patient with my laryngitis. Boy, I just so seldom get this. And it reminds me of when I was a kid, when I was in school, it seemed like every fall, I lived in California, it seemed like every fall, especially after I started choir practice, I ended up with laryngitis. Well, fortunately, as an adult, I just don't have it happen very often. And when you're a talk show host, that is the last thing that you want. But guess what? I got it. And it's staying for a couple of days, apparently. So let's just hope it goes away soon. Again, my apologies because our first guest, because of the storm, we were not able to get through to her, but we will be rebooking Nancy. Before Dr. Todd was able to come on the air with us, I was starting to tell you about the Chinese. And in ancient China, the art of discerning a person's personality was quite a significant one. They said, don't ask me how they compiled all of their statistics and their information, that the shape of a person's chin really defined how lucky that person was going to be later in life. But do you know what? In today's world, they found that analyzing the width and shape of a chin will also accurately predict character traits 92% of the time. Uh-huh. So, there are four chin shapes. That is square, round, narrow, and wide. Well, if you have a square chin, you have these personality types. You're a go-getter. You are going to be a very hard worker. You will get projects, personal and professional. You do them right. And you love to plan. You will start preparing weeks in advance if necessary. And you usually will accomplish whatever you set out to do. Now, what if you got a round chin? You're a very caring person. Usually, you're very compassionate. You're kind. You're generous. Now, you're people-oriented. Not necessarily goal-oriented, but people-oriented. And you like being thoughtful. You'll put everybody else first. You're very giving. That considerate part of your nature enables you to be very flexible in your personal and professional life. Also, you make friends for a lifetime. You're the type of person that people will be very loyal to. Now, what if you've got a wide chin? Wide chin. You won't give up. Now, if your chin measures at least one-third of the width of the jaw, it means you've got tremendous willpower. You take pride in doing things right, and you won't ever, ever, ever give up. I mean, that's just not part of you. The more things seem to go against you, the stronger you become. You are so resolute and determined, and you persevere. You bounce back from setbacks, and people find you inspiring. They love being around you because you do. You don't talk. You do. You demonstrate. So, very special. Now, if you have a narrow jaw, you like making peace. You are very empathetic with others. When it comes to working, you make a wonderful mediator. You have a way of settling disputes amicably. You can do it gently. You can do it firmly, but you do it. Now, above all, you like to avoid conflict. You just don't like it at all. You strive for harmony, and you will avoid the conflict at all costs. Well, that makes you a natural diplomat, natural mediator, and people like to come to you for advice for that. So there is a tidbit of how one part of your anatomy, when studied, can actually give information about your personality type and who you are. It's a fascinating science. It really is. And they've made it into a science. This is something the ancient Chinese worked with a long time ago. And guess what? We didn't discover anything new. We have just gotten it down into a different type of statistical demonstration. Donna Sebo here. I know that we're just about out of time. We've got a great lineup of guests that are going to be evolving on the show. That information is going to be coming up on BBS in, I'd say, within the next 24 hours. We're going to be talking Thanksgiving tomorrow with Leo Pearlstein. Leo has been a regular every Thanksgiving for a number of years, and he always has such great recipes. This is a man who has been involved with turkey and a lot of other food products for a lot of years because that's been part of his business. And then knowing who I am, Nia Nell. This is a young woman that we're going to be playing the music of that is, oh, she's just phenomenal. Her story, though, she's from South Africa. Her music is wonderful. Her story is fabulous. The book titled Knowing Who I Am is a story of a woman's journey from obscurity to fame, and she has just won all kinds of awards for her music. So we have the privilege of having her in this country, and I'm hoping we're going to be able to reach her. So we will be checking in on that as soon as we get everything together, because I know she was supposed to be in New York, and with the terrible storm that people have experienced, I don't know exactly where she's going to be, so I'll be checking with her PR person before the end of the day. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. And for those of you that might be fortunate enough to be listening to the show from the East Coast, know our prayers, good thoughts are with you. And we wish nothing but the best for those of you that are in that 1,000-mile coverage that the storm Sandy just brought so much devastation to. We know you'll be able to get through it and maybe even experience something far beyond your dreams. Donna Sebo here. We'll be with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.